You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Baker's Plus card, it's easy to get lower than low prices. For the win! Earn fuel points on every purchase and save up to a dollar a gallon at the pump. The Baker's Plus card. All you do is win. Big, big savings. Sign up now at bakersplus.com and start saving. Baker's. Fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your favorites with the Buy 5 or More Save a Dollar Each sale. Simply buy 5 or more participating items and save a dollar each with your card. Baker's. Fresh for everyone.
It's time to start a war. Enslave the children.
This is our last song. So everybody sing along. La 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 la.
Baco, and man, do we got a show for you today. Even the most casual listener to our lovely little podcast here knows that Copers and Fire has nothing but full-on raging rock boners for our boys in Bulbaflex. I had the chance to sit down and talk with lead singer Sean McCoy, and we cover everything you almost never hear in an interview. We talk about Dolly Parton's acting career, pissing in Gatorade bottles and jalapeno mustard, and much, much more. The kind of hard-hitting journalism that you can only get from the brilliant and handsome brains that collectively make Cobras and Fire the greatest podcast on the planet. But before we get into the interview, how about we check out a little bit of Bulbaflex music, the reason that we're all here in the first place. Maestro, would you please?
Australians. and Fire. I'm your host, Luce Cannon, along with the inquisitive Baco. How are you, sir?
I am well, Luce. How are you? You got the family truckster finally parked in Colorado. How was the transition?
Yeah. So quick recap here. If you've heard previous episodes, I've mentioned this in passing, but essentially the Cobras, one of the Cobras and Fire studios, mine, moved from South Florida all the way out to smack dab, and I mean Denver proper, Colorado. So 7 days.
Cheers.
Many states. Yeah, exactly. Cheers. And now I will be 20 minutes from pretty much all rock venues, pretty much any band that goes on tour shows up in this town. But before we go into that, too, I should mention that if there's an issue with the sound quality here, I want to let you know, and Baco can vouch for this, that until we move in a few days to our actual home, we are staying at a friend's house, and I am in a room that has a hobbit-sized door that I'll just break it down. I'm in a grow house. Did you see? I did send you pictures to substantiate this, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. 3-foot hobbit-sized door. There's a makeshift bedroom I'm calling from, and it's quite incredible. It's legal here, folks. There's nothing wrong with this. It's the person here is selling it to a dispensary, all above board. But that's the deal. That's where I'm calling from.
A lot of people are pretty jealous that you're living the high life, double wide.
Yes, high life, high elevation. I mean, I do have kids here, so I've had to explain that the person that's right here just really likes gardening a lot indoors.
He's really good indoor gardener.
Amazing. He just likes a lot of lamps going on 24/7. And so there, that's where I'm calling from. That's so the audio quality, you just imagine that's the surroundings I'm in. But yeah, man, just happy to be here. But enough about me. I called you the Inquisitive Baco for a reason. So why don't you, what you got for us this week?
Well, as I said at the top of the hour, we will be basically talking Bulbaflex the entire time here.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker. Hey, listen, I'm on the phone, honey. Just go upstairs for a second.
Dad, just have a quick conversation.
I'm going to be done, and I'll be coming up, okay?
Okay. The quicker we can get done.
Do you see how professional this recording studio is right now?
Maybe we should have her be a guest.
We might. She has a lot of things to say, I'll tell you that much.
Sounds like she's got some pretty interesting points to consider.
Stay away from the weed, honey. All right, we'll continue on.
Yeah, we're talking Bulbaflex, one of the bands that you kind of gave me you woke up the crusty rock boner, which had been buried under piles of Breaking Benjamin and Saving Abel's and 3 Days Graces.
Yeah, and not allowing anything to come in past probably 94 or something for you.
It was like a rock chastity belt that what was been going on in music for about 10 years.
Yeah, it just broke apart like plaster caster boner just shattering and
Bulbaflex.
But yeah, man, I mean this is one of the bands that I first, like, when I was doing it solo for the first couple episodes, I was like, "Hey man,
right,
just giving you an idea that the show, check out these bands," and one of them you grabbed onto was Bulbaflex,
yeah,
right?
Almost immediately. I don't even remember what song you were featuring on there. It was, and I think you did a double shot of like great bands with silly names or something.
Yep.
But no, and then I started listening to all their stuff, and then you sent me some of it, and then I bought a bunch of it. And in a couple months, I saw them live, and I got to interview them for Decibel Geek, and yeah, it was like a gateway drug. There's a reference for you in your little grow house there.
Boom. Well done.
To all these other bands. I mean, if it wasn't for them, I don't know that I'd be into Wilson. Crobot came after that.
Shaman's Harvest you like.
Yeah. God, who are my big ones, though? Now I'm like into like Gloria Sun's Monster Truck and Red Sun Rising. Those are all kind of newer ones from this kind of year. As far as not new in just new for me is all I'm getting at.
Well, they're still new-ish. I say any band in the last 5 or 10 years is new.
But those are the dominoes that came after tipping over,
right?
Bulbaflex is what I'm trying to get at. Sure. And boy, it's very refreshing to feel. I've almost become territorial with all those bands the way I would, you know, about Kiss when I was in high school. You know, it's like I wore it like a badge of honor and walked like it was a Target. And I'm a grown ass man, and it's I don't know, Luce. It's refreshing to feel optimistic about music, I guess.
It is, and I'll just say too that with Bulbaflex, the thing that first struck me about them, for those that are maybe tuning into this episode and kind of are like, I've sort of maybe heard about them before, but hey, I like this podcast, I'm going to give this episode a spin. I mean, this is a band that basically the melodies combined with the guitars and the way that they actually sing dual vocal parts in the verses as well as the choruses is pretty unique. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, all right, definitely. That was, you know, the songs are good, first of all, and then you believe it when you hear them sing it. You know, because not all their songs are like, you know, this deep lyrical thing, but they sell it. It's just very believable. But it, like you said, it's also very melodic, but it's heavy as fuck. And it's not so heavy that it sounds like a buzzsaw. You know, you can actually hear the music, and I don't know. It's difficult to describe if you haven't heard it, but it was a breath of fucking fresh air.
Yeah, I mean, what other band could pull off a song with the title "I'm Glad You're Dead" and make it both like you believe it, but you see that it's tongue in cheek and has like a melodic part in the middle that almost is Beatlesque.
Yeah.
That breakdown.
No, that's great.
What other band? What other band could do that?
Oh, Jesus on. Chrysler.
Besides your own band.
But I would use, I mean, even Wilson kind of does that, but they came after.
Sure. Yep.
Maybe that was part of the reason that I connected with Bulbaflex so much, is because I really did feel a kinship with the how seriously they could sell something that wasn't serious while at the same time not sounding serious about it. I mean, that's a pretty fucked up thing to do, and it's a balancing act.
Yeah, so why don't you kind of break down I've heard the interview. It's great. You guys cover a lot of not topical, hey, what's your favorite song off the new album? Crap like that. You went to talk about some music industry stuff. You talk about Kiss. You talk about some you bounce all over the place.
But movie snacks.
Movie snacks. You talk about the challenges of touring and everything, expectation for sales, for music. It's very in-depth. And somebody that's even a cursory fan of this band or just discovering for the first time, I think will find it very interesting. But why don't you break down kind of like paint the picture of you getting there, where it's at, sitting down with them.
The interview was set up in advance. So once I got a hold of their representatives, they brought me back to their RV. And you know, and it looked like you would expect a Bulbaflex RV to look like inside. And my wife says it stunk, but I didn't notice it. She says it because I was sitting next to the hot plate with all the taco meat on it.
Oh, okay.
So they were having tacos.
Sure. It was Tuesday. So. Yeah.
No, it was a Sunday night. But and let's just say that I can tell by the surroundings that they enjoy shotgunning beers. But
all right.
But, you know, it's packed tight, and we're at a tiny little table like you have in an RV, and there's a little door that goes in back where all the bunks are. And I got to tell you, there was the members of the band and the touring, you know, the couple, they got their tour manager with them and stuff there. Every time they walked past us, you basically couldn't walk past me without kind of touching me or opening and closing that door. They all acted like they were just like we were in a recording studio and they're just trying not to disrupt. So thank them. I would like to thank them very much for being so kind, even though it wouldn't have really made much of a difference. The interview would have been pretty much the same if they would have been slamming the door.
So, okay, so that's the setup, typical, and they're touring all the time. So they basically played 20 minutes, or they at least have a half hour, 40 minutes?
They have 35 minutes.
They have 35 minutes. Okay, so what, they bust out 10 songs, roughly?
It was, I want to say eight. It was eight songs.
Okay.
I have the set list on a picture, but I don't remember off the top of my head specifically.
And they played, they covered the new Disturbed single?
They did not that night, but
we'll go into that.
Yeah,
you'll go into that.
That's in the interview.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, no, it was great listening to it. I think everybody's going to enjoy it here. And during the interview, we'll be sprinkling in Bulbaflex Genius throughout and hopefully converting more people to the cause. But yeah, I just have so much respect for this band, and also I was basically chasing them. They showed up here 4 days before I did, unfortunately.
Oh, well, they'll definitely be Denver. Back.
So. Yeah, they'll be back. But they tour all the time. And what else do you want to add before we kick off this interview?
Just a little bit of ass kissing. I really think what they're doing matters. I think it's important. I really believe in it. And if I were in their position, I would quit. So God bless Bulbaflex. And if you're not a fan, you fucking should be. But hey, enough kissing the butt. Let's. You want to just get to the interview?
Yeah, let's get to the interview, man.
Right on. Nice talking to you, Luce.
All right. You too. Talk soon.
I'm Baco here with Sean from Bulbaflex. How are you today?
Good, man. Good.
Now, a couple of guys in the band are sick, it seems like.
Yeah, Marty and Jimmy, our brother and our bass player, they've come down with it after Bratfest. I think the free booze they got might have had something to do with it. Might have lowered the immune systems.
Something you're not worried about catching?
Nope. Just here to... 40-foot box, you know, it's just like, it's going to happen or it's not.
So. Well, it's super neat in here. You know, it's really tidy, and you got bananas for potassium. And
yep.
Looks like a lot of mustard. The jalapeno mustard?
We stole that from Bratfest. They gave us that.
Right on.
It's been shooting jalapeno mustard everywhere. It's meant for a food stand, and it's, after today, I think we're going to chuck it, but...
One of the first things I wanted to ask is, what inspired you to cover a Disturbed song, The Sound of Silence?
Well, that's the, now we're kind of worried when we're covering it, like when we do it live, like, well, are people going
to
think?
I was actually going to ask you that. I tried to come up with a smart ass way to ask it, but yeah, tell you, what is that like?
It's a bit disappointing to, you know, they can do what they want. And the truth is, the song has been covered countless times by all kinds of different artists. So Disturbed is kind of, you know, they got a lot of popularity for it. And we kind of thought, should we play it live? It looked like we're only playing it because Disturbed, because we've been playing it since 2011, 2010. It's part of our set list.
Yeah.
So we're going to continue to play it. You know, most of our fans know we did it years ago. And, you know, their version's cool, and actually David Draymond retweeted our version.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, that's at least an acknowledgement.
Yeah, he was cool.
I just wanted to, you know, make sure that everything was, you know, at least about, like, he wasn't trying to pretend he hadn't heard yours. Of silence, in restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Yeah, I'm a skeptic, so I'm like...
Yeah, he may have, he may not have. Who knows what happened to the world of Disturbed.
Yeah. Well, clearly he has, or maybe someone shared it with him after the fact.
I think somebody tweeted it to him, and he retweeted it, or said it was a good version, something like that.
Yeah, I like yours better, but I'm not really a big Disturbed guy, so let's move on past that. The album wasn't out when I saw you last, so how was Anything That Moves received so far?
It's cool, man, and we licensed it to a German label, so it got out over there. We almost went to Europe in February, but some things fell through, and we're hoping to license it, so we own it, the next album to Germany, so we're really trying to get a foothold over there and get a reason to go to Europe. So
yeah.
Just tour America nonstop, you know, start spreading the, spreading the love.
Have you been to Europe?
No, never. We were supposed to go once when we were on a record label, and we chose the Mudvayne Seven Dust Tour, which was the biggest metal tour of the fall. Mm-hmm. So we ended up having to skip on a European tour.
Okay. That was recently, or?
No.
Mudvayne, it would have been.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah.
So that was our last opportunity, and this one, once again, it's just like, just hit our grasp and always falls through. So hopefully we'll get there this year or next year, man.
It's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah. Well... Beyond that, let's go back a little bit. Correct me if I'm right. It wasn't Hell in My Heart. It was the
Charlton's
Web, where you have that introduction where the love letter from
a booking agent.
Mm-hmm.
John McCoy of Bowflex. Leave a message and I'll get back to you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, may hang up or press 1 for more options.
So, you cousin fucking hillbillies think you're above my agency? You think I give a shit? You're peanuts to me. You're just another 10% from some nobody band from nowhere. Your daddy was a damn rock band. Your drummer, the son of a coal miner. Bassman's daddy laid black. You know what, West? They have a name for your kind. Working class trash. You don't come from shit. You ain't never gonna be shit. You diseased alcoholics think cause you pissed in Gatorade bottles, lived on the dollar bin, you would play the dirt circuit, that it's your time? It's over. It never began. An intelligent person would just give up. Oh, and you know that $4,000 deposit I received? I'm keeping it. It should cover my expenses for the gigs I booked that you assholes canceled. Well, keep dancing in the gutter, you scumbags. It's where you belong. Have a nice fucking day.
Is he still in the business?
Oh, God, yeah.
He's well. Have you ever exposed who he is?
No, I have not. I do know his name, but...
Oh, sure.
I don't want to get in any... Who knows what would happen? I don't know. But, yeah, he's an awful person, and... booking agents are just, oh man, they're evil all their own. We've had a couple good ones over the years, but in 10 years, I can tell you, they're like, you know, playing with a snake. It's like, you'll have fun, it's cool, but could bite you.
Who books you now then?
Basically, it's kind of a weird situation too. Basically, our manager's booking us right now.
Yeah.
We try to not dabble in that evil if we can.
Right.
We're learning. It's like, that might be a job for an indie artist now that we're independent. You should do it yourself. If you've got all the contacts, do it yourself, because no one can route you or book you better than yourself.
I ask because you guys play a lot of just seemingly random kind of places, you know what I mean? I don't know, I was just curious at all.
Yeah, man. We go through booking agents. I mean, like, you know, John Stamos goes through girlfriends. It's just one after the other. Next.
Oh, he likes girls. The festival obviously is really getting kind of a more of a foothold here in the United States. And I know you guys did Rock on the Range. What was the last one? 2010 or something like that?
No, it was sooner than that.
More recently?
2012.
Okay. Of the festivals that I see you guys are doing this summer, none of them are by AEG. Am I right on that? Was there any type of like pay to play thing that you're just kind of?
Oh, no. We get paid for all of them.
Yeah. Was there a problem with AEG? It just seems weird.
No.
Only by the bands that I know you're on tour and the bands I see that are getting some of these slots. It would just seem like there's so many spots to be.
Right.
You know, and I would definitely be one of the persons like, why aren't they sliding into a few more of these? So.
It's tough, man. You sign up for them and you get surprised when you get one and surprised when you don't, man. I don't know anymore. It's like, we should be on Rock on the Range next year. We should be on it this year. And I don't know if, like, we had a past road manager upset someone or what.
Yeah.
You just never know. There's always kind of fit. I mean, in Columbus, Ohio, that's our biggest market. I mean, we are more singles on that town. You go to Rock on the Range and see hundreds, maybe thousands of Bowflex shirts. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. And we held the crowd really well. Played in front of 14,000 before Slash, and they never left us until we were done, and we did an excellent job. And we had to co-headline the Jaeger stage with In This Moment, and it all went great, man. I just don't know, you know, what magic trick we'd have to do to be back on there, but hopefully next year we will be.
I work with AEG a little bit because of Northern Invasion. Is one of their things, but I get all the press releases and stuff through the lady that I speak with. It just seems very... like they have very formula to their system. That's why I was curious. I thought for sure you guys would have been at one of the ones that we were looking at sending somebody to Decibel Geek to. Although you're going to be at Rock USA Oshkosh.
Yep.
We're going to be at that. So
that's going to be awesome. And we also, in August, is our first time playing Sturgis, man. So
right on. I didn't see that. Where at?
The Iron Horse.
Okay. I don't know how they lay all that out. I've never been out there. Only because of that TV show I'm familiar with.
That thing with Full Throttle Saloon.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of places there, though, that lay it all out.
I cannot wait to see 50-year-old biker mama breasts. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah? Are you going to take pictures? You know, maybe share them on Instagram or something like that?
Yeah, or just put them on my photo vault. You know, you get that photo vault, you can make little things, and someone breaks into your phone, your girlfriend can't get in there without a password.
Oh.
So you get all your exes on there, and then just, like, biker boobs. Of 60-year-olds at Sturgis. That'll be a new bracket in my secret folder.
Well, maybe you could like use that as like inspiration for writing for the next record.
With, right.
You know, what you're going to have to do that maybe at the end of the summer? Or
yeah, Liver Spot Breast. So
that'll be a title. Yeah. You could maybe make it an anagram like LSB. But
Detailed Nipples, I like it.
Detailed Nipples. Okay, let's see if I can get back on what I was going for.
Back to reality.
All right, you guys have been snake bit a handful of times in some pretty, I don't know what the catastrophic's the right word, you know, just grand ways. Has that affected your, like you were talking about booking agents, like, is it more than just them? Is it anybody in the business you're a little hesitant to deal with at all?
Booking agents, and we don't even really shop to labels anymore. They're doing those 360 deals. Now, I did talk to some friends in Red Sun Rising, and they said they got a pretty fair deal for today's standards.
With Razor and Tie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from word of mouth. Now, I don't know, you know, if Razor and Tie be interested, but we thought about maybe shopping to them, but it's still, it seems like the label's a slave driver. Like, bands tour harder than ever, and we got bands, friends in certain bands, I'm not going to say names, that say they're not making a dime, and they tour nonstop. You hear them on the radio, they're on every festival, they're not making anything.
Yeah.
It's just like the labels take your merch, your show, not all of it, but you split everything with them.
Yeah.
And they run them like dogs. Poppy Evil's drummer, has been the original drummer for years, just quit and said, I gotta see my family at some point, this sucks.
Well, you guys stay pretty busy, do you?
Yeah, we do, within reason. I mean, this is a 2-month tour. We rarely go that long, but we try to split it up and go 4 weeks off, 2 weeks, go 2 weeks off to maybe go 6 weeks at the most. This is rare for us to go out 8. But if you look at our schedule, where we constantly go back and forth, it is pretty constant, but we try to get home to see our families as much as we can and try to get out promote her name as much as we can, so it's a delicate balance.
The with the record labels dipping into all that stuff like you're talking about, that probably has a lot to do with that, the lack of sales compared to history.
Yeah, and then now streaming screwed up downloading. I mean, downloading was pretty good for us on Charlton's Web and did a lot for us, and now that you got streaming's a, I wouldn't even say a fraction of downloading. It's ridiculous what Spotify pays. Nothing. And it, you know, one time we had 65,000 plays in one day, and we're getting checked for 1,200 for the quarter or 2,000.
Yeah.
It sucks.
But you know who Desmond Child is, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
wrote for Kiss and everybody.
Yeah. On that topic, he was talking about, like, one of the Bon Jovi big ones. Let's just say it's You Give Love a Bad Name. Doesn't matter. They have so many hits. One of the ones that he co-wrote with Richie and John. And it had like 6 million streams in 1 month, and they had to split $120 three ways.
Oh my God!
I don't myself. I have a hard time grasping it because it doesn't sound very good. It's not easy to take with you.
You don't own it.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I try to not drink very much anymore, but when I do, I like to listen to my phone in the desert. I don't need Wi-Fi or run my phone bill up.
Right.
So all my songs I download, I own, they're right there on my phone, and I don't have to deal with Spotify and all that other crap or YouTube, you know, and because we might park in the desert and have a party, you know, and I just don't get, to me, it's like my modern day record collection. I want to own it, you know.
Yeah.
Spotify is just, you're borrowing it for a minute.
It really is. It's, you know, and I'm not even sure how they run
their... I think in the future, I think the next step for the music industry will be that we have to pay people to listen to our music. That'll be the next step. Put a new album out, you get everyone that listens to it, you got to give them a penny. I'm like, okay. Don't worry, you're just the artist. You should do it for the love.
You know, you're probably not too far off base there.
Stop whining.
There is already, like, ways to get paid by, you know, clicking on advertisements and things of that nature, you know? I mean... Well, that's sad if that ends up happening. You might want to reconsider what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
This is our last song. So everybody sing along. La 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 la. And we can stay too long. cause we're gonna keep moving on. La 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 la
la la. It's complicated when you're running round. Hey, we don't like your sound, and your time is running out. You need to dress like all the other bands. Forget about your fans, cause they're hurt. Be on top of the world again if you don't think it's been too long.
This is our last song, so everybody sing along. La 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 la. And we can't stay too long, cause we're gonna keep moving on. La la la. So friendly now, they put your single down and say the time is running out. You need to sound like all the other bands. Forget about your fans, cause their hearts are filled with doubt.
Sacrifices they have made now. It's up to me, and I ain't that strong.
This is our last song, so everybody sing along. La 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 la. And we can't stay too long, cause we're gonna keep moving on. La 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 la.
You play Minnesota a decent amount. I think in the I was first introduced to you guys about 2 years ago. In that time, you've been here about four or five times. This will be my second time seeing you, but it's kind of nice. But you hit the Midwest a lot. Is there like a mile, like, is there a certain amount of money you have to make per mile, almost like to travel further? Or
no, I mean, our tour manager does a budget. You know what? How many miles there are, and how much of the show pay goes towards it. But no, I mean, you take what you can get this day and age, and if someone books you, you try to make it work regardless.
Uh-huh.
Some shows you make more on, some you don't. As long as we can get there, it's tough to get out West Coast and justify it. Sometimes we know we'll lose money going to the West Coast.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, there's some shows you lose money on, but yeah, at this phase, as an indie artist, it's not really been that bad. I mean, we're not doing... We take one on the chin to open for like El Nino for 3 months. We know we're not, this ain't a big profit anymore. Literally, we're going out just to promote the band to their fans.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, we do all right, but we know we done that. We went out of Orgy, and we just went out of Beer Union. So we go out, open for a few tours. It's a new strategy. So now we're going to headline to the end of the year. And then maybe in January, February, we'll look for another band to open for.
Okay. You've been playing with your brother a long time, obviously. Which one is a better guitar player?
My brother. Oh. I'm a string banger. I just write songs on it, learn the songs we have, and I don't consider myself a guitar player. I just play guitar for our band for functional reasons, and I use it to write I'm a songwriter. Okay. So my brother's the guitar player, and Dave's a real good. That's what we got. Dave is our last guitarist. Quit right after we recorded the album. Like, we're gonna have to get Randy Rhodes to play these parts. Jeez, I mean, the guy did dazzling solos on Charlton's Web.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, we better get somebody pretty good. So he ended up being a good singer too. So when our bass player left, he could do all his harmonies, and so it worked out, man. So we should be paying him more.
Which one of you two are the better singer?
Marty's the technical better singer, but I'm the cooler singer.
Okay, that's kind of what I'm looking for.
I had the most Facebook friends early, more Twitter followers, you know.
The stuff that matters.
The stuff that matters.
Yes, okay.
Give the people what they want, man.
All right, well, which one of you, like, can win in a fight easier? I mean, you've had to fight him over the years, right?
Well, he claims he has. Yeah, he claims he could, but, you know, I've been pressing a lot of weight lately, so I'm pretty sure I could pick him up and slam him.
Your music videos are quite good.
Thank you.
Especially the ones for this record, Spider in the Dark, I particularly like.
Yep.
But the Mama Don't Take My Drugs Away was obviously quite fun.
Mama don't take my drugs away.
Great performance, like as a visual face actor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
we were quick. We had to do a video fast, and we had to come up with a concept quick. Like, let's get a hotel. Let's do this. Maybe I'll do coke in the video. Is that smart? I mean, can you do that? I was like, well, we'll do it. I want to say we're the first video where just a band member's just doing a lot of coke in the video.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure we're the only, I've never seen it in a rock video.
Yeah, it takes a lot for me to step back and go, did they just do that? And that video definitely had that effect. You know, that's almost all the way through. It starts with when you get the drugs delivered to the hotel room, and it really doesn't let up until you're getting
it. We had to get creative quick with a small budget. And sometimes we spend some money, like the Spider in the Dark, which ended up not being that bad. We got the meat locker for free. We got time to set it up. And Glad You're Dead was one that we rented a church and got fans of the extras and rented costumes and went crazy on the budget on that, and spent 3 days filming it and made a grave and did all kinds of stuff for Glad You're Dead. So that one was we actually spent a good bit of money on. When we have time, we like doing the videos and everything. But sometimes, you know, you're pressing, like, oh, we got a single, we're gonna do a video, let's film a rat in an alley. And then
where do you do them typically? Is there
Ohio?
Okay.
Right, that, around Columbus area.
Is that kind of how you know Red Sun Rising by chance?
Yeah, some of the guys from that area, and some of them are from upstate New York, I think.
Okay.
But they played with us back years ago when they were like teenagers, and we just talked to them. We just played Earth Day Birthday in Orlando with those guys, and with 311 headline, and then they said we've been fans when we were younger. My God, we've been doing it that long. But
how long have they been around then? I thought they were a little newer than that.
No, they were different bands.
Oh.
Different guys in the band, okay. All were fans. Several guys in the band anyway, when they were, you know, in high school bands and stuff, while we were actually on a label. So it's like, okay, been doing it a while.
So you still live in Ohio, or?
Yes.
All right. So where do you call home, roughly?
I'm driving all night, and I don't know where we were yesterday. Is it time to play? The crowd was on fire, and I don't recognize a single face. Oh, by the way, can we stay at your place?
Out of Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
Pretty much Columbus.
Yeah. Back to I had a question on anything that moves. We were talking a little bit about album sales, and I know that just came out, and you said streaming kind of took a hit on it.
Yeah.
Is there a number that you guys are like looking to achieve nowadays? I mean, what's the?
Are we really? We want to get some radio play. and keep the campaign costs low. Radio campaign is expensive. We compete with major label bands. You know, we got to spend some money, which kind of stinks. But we got some stations like JJO, the Blitz in Columbus, who are just been longtime friends and always support us. That helps, and getting on satellite radio really pushes your sales through the roof.
So you guys are on Octane then?
Yeah, if you get on Octane, Glad Your Dead did really well on there, and we try to repeat that. And they're really fair, and you know, you don't really have to do a campaign on Octane. You don't have to hire a company to work your single for them. You know, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. Now, they'll run up through the numbers. The people who aren't calling, they'll quit playing it, but they'll give you a chance. And if they do, sure, man, the sales are crazy from that.
People can call into Octane, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then JJ Madison puts us on a bunch of festivals and plays us, and they cause a lot of sales too, man.
Right on. I wasn't aware how that all worked. It does, I don't know, as someone who grew up listening to radio, it is a little frustrating to know that there's almost nothing like a Boba Flex fan or for whatever band it is could do for their local radio station to change it, unless it's college, you know what I mean? But like the big, Clear Channel, I think, that owns 93X here, or maybe it's Cumulus, doesn't matter, but there isn't really that local push that you could do. If you just call in, if you got a bunch of people, it wouldn't really do much.
They say you can, and you can email, and you always hear DJs being annoyed by it or acting like, oh, we can't play them.
Yeah, well, it doesn't.
And some of them, their hands are tied because they got a corporate list. And people think when they listen to DJs that they're like a DJ from the 70s and they're picking all the songs. They're not.
No, not anymore. No. The songs might even be in the building.
I mean, they might be our good best friend and like we hang out with them all night, and they can't get us out of them. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much they like us, we'll come in and play acoustic, and that station might spin it that day once, but they won't add it.
Yeah.
Because it's not Green Day or Godsmack or on their corporate playlist. So, Active Rock, I don't know how much longer it's going to last. There's only 38 major reporting stations in the country.
Oh, really? It's shrunk down?
Oh, my God. And every time we go somewhere, our favorite DJ or buddy went to this station, and it closed down, and it went country or it went classic rock. They're dying, man.
I got a feeling it's turning.
Yeah.
Because, like, bands like you, I like Monster Truck a lot. So you
mentioned, Monster Truck's great from Canada.
Yeah, and you mentioned Red Sun Rising, Canadian band, Glorious Sons, I like a lot. And very different sounding bands, and that's kind of where I'm going with this, because eventually I think people will get tired of country and top 40 basically being the same thing, and as much as, you know, I enjoy maybe some Godsmack or Disturbed, I don't need 4 hours of the exact same song.
I think it's like the 80s when they, you know, because Motley Crue and Van Halen did well, so they signed 6 million bands with guys named Trixie Licks and Bobby G and
right.
Cute Hair, and record labels just tried to mine it to death until everyone said no. Well, Active Rock did the same thing. They just had a formulaic drop tune rock bands that, you know, I feel.
You should start one, you know?
Yeah. Because we try to live. Like, it's just like they ran it to death for a decade. It comes to a stop because that's just the way it is. It's just like you. I can't tell them apart. I haven't been able to tell them apart for 10 years. They just keep record labels still like try to crank out a band that sounds like somebody from 2002 or 2008, whichever. And they did the same thing. They forced the same formulas. And dudes with the eyebrow raised, I'm like, wait, that was like 13 years ago. What are you doing? And they just keep cranking the same crap out, the same formula.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked with songwriters. I know the formula. I'm like, no. Not doing that.
Breaking Abel or Saving Benjamin, you know?
Right, there you go.
For bands that I will gladly call out. But, you're not wrong, man. It's almost like whiny, too. It's like you get this hard-ass metal singer talking about his girlfriend yelling at him for getting high. And it's like, how can I take that serious? I can't even relate to you. You sound like...
It's like, weed's not bad. He's getting down on you. What are you dating, Ronald Reagan's daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
She probably said, well, that's wrong.
He's dating Nancy. You know, she was single before she died.
So. Right. Yeah. I'm like, who's bothering it? What?
Well, what about, like, stuff that's going on? I know Prince passed away. Obviously, I'm sure you guys heard. You know,
yeah.
Unless you were asleep for 2 weeks. When Gene Simmons from Kiss caused a little bit of a stir with that, I don't know, we'll just say an insensitive remark regarding, because, you know, at the time, they were still kind of determining. Any kind of thoughts on like rock stars? Kind of like it seems like when they get old and they're a big name, like you got him, you got even JJ French from Twisted Sisters talking about bands should only play the hits, and Dee Snider always willing to say something. Now Nikki and Paul Stanley and Gene's wife and Gene all got into a little. Do you think you should just kind of at a certain point, is it okay, or do you want them to like, yeah, why don't you just tone it down a little bit? You know,
we live in a world of opinions. I mean, that's all Facebook and Twitter and comment boards is everyone's internal thought on every little subject. And I get bored of the internet. You know, I'm like, I don't need to hear every person's comment, who they're voting for, why I should do this, and mom should do that. I think it's not just Gene Simmons and Nikki Sixx, it's everybody. The internet is just a playground of garbage of everyone. I say, we don't need to know everyone's opinion on every possible thing. That's why I like some sites where they put up a story and there's no comments page. I'm like, thank God, you don't have to sift through all that garbage. I mean, if you ever just take a look under like sports, or every once in a while on TMZ, I'll just see which star is really screwing up. And my God, I mean, they'll get on there and go after Will Smith's kids and shit, little faggot this, and I'm basically wishing death on people they don't know. It's like the internet's a cesspool. So I think it's not just then everybody should tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I'd agree with that. You mean, so you're almost saying, like, maybe if Gene was having a conversation with his family and said that, it would be...
But to get on a public forum and state his big ideas on everything, I think.
What are your big ideas, just on anything? Give me a couple.
Big ideas? I think that...
Star Wars, you want to get anything on that? Was blowing up the Death Star the right thing to do, or were...
I thought it was cool, man. I'm a big geek. I got Captain America tattoos and stuff, and that's another world of complainers and whiners and nerves.
Of course. Like,
all they do is get movie after movie of lavish Marvel heroes and 40 Batman movies, and they just, the more they get, the more they complain. It's like, shut up. When I was a kid, all you had was just the Christopher Reeve movie and like 70s Spider-Man with like bad effects. Shut up.
Yeah, we never complained about that.
No. When I was a kid.
When's it going to be on again?
Right. I'm looking forward to Rogue One, and that looks really cool. And I think Disney's handle. I saw Star Wars twice in 1 week, once with my daughter and girlfriend. I thought it was great. Some people complained it's just too much like A New Hope, and it was too nostalgic. I'm like, oh God, shut up. It was great.
I love it.
That's what the world wanted, was to give me a piece of the old stuff.
Yeah.
And he delivered, I thought. I thought it was excellent, man. I loved it.
We're on the same page there.
I go see all the fantasy. When I was younger, I was a big Scorsese fan. I still am. But now, you know, I want to skate more the older I get. So giant robots, superheroes, ninjas, whatever. I'm into it, you know, especially if I'm spending money. I won't go see my girlfriend. I want to go see a story about a mom beating cancer. I'm like, I don't really want to eat popcorn and watch that.
Yeah.
Not that I wouldn't watch
Twizzlers?
It. Yeah. You know,
is that a pro-cancer treat?
Yeah. Even like romantic comedies, I'm like, I can't spend that much money because we go to like a beer drinking theater.
No.
And, you know, I want to do shots and watch like, you know, Batman or something. And whoa. And so I want to skate. Or, you know, me and my daughter get to see Pixar movies, but the older I get, the more I'm into just take me out of reality, please.
How's your daughter?
She's 9.
No.
Yep.
Right on.
Musician too, unfortunately.
Oh boy. I told my stepdaughter to not date a musician, and the first thing
that's the first rule.
The first two boyfriends she had, I think, were musicians, so, but yeah, she moved on. It sounds like she learned the lesson. She called me a hypocrite, but whatever. We feature a lot of new bands. We like, one of our so-called mission statements, if you will, is to, like, you know, bring new rock out as much as, you know, support the ones we like. I know last time I talked to Marty, he mentioned Wilson. Within 3 days, I got it, and it was amazing.
Love Wilson.
Give me some bands that you're listening to right now that...
I don't know if they're new. I know they're definitely not. There's an old band called Masters of Reality.
Oh, yeah.
And the drummer is Ginger Baker.
Yeah, I know them.
And they sunk after an album or two in the 80s, early 90s. And they went on tour with either Megadeth or... It might have been... Alice in Chains, but people booed them, people didn't get it, and I've listened to it since I was like 15, still listen to it.
You like it, huh?
Love it.
It's just the first record. Did they do more than one?
Yeah,
with Ginger, blowing both?
I don't know if he did the second one or not. I wanted to do Ginger is the one I got, the first one, and I still listen to it religiously, man.
Isn't the guitar player really fat, too, or is it the
Yeah, it's a big, like, guitar player, singer guy, and he was, he sound has a weird, ghosty voice, and I listened to that for years, man. And I just picked up Willie Nelson, Redheaded Stranger, and I didn't drink for 3 or 4 weeks on tour, and once I did, I made everyone listen to old Willie Nelson songs.
All right, on.
Yeah, the band got bored of that real quick. That or Clunky Kiss. I'm like, let's listen to Love Gun again. I'm like, let's not.
So where are you on Kiss? Are you a fan or not a fan?
Big fan.
Oh, so you're the one saying let's play it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, big Kiss fan, and I do the same thing with the TV once movie night. I'm like, hey, let's watch Flash Gordon again. Or I got Buck Rogers season one just for the 70s gaudy suits and the hot 70s girls and the nostalgia. But I'm always blown away. But to get certain fans off the bus, I'll just put Buck Rogers on and it works every time.
So do you each take, do you have like a, each have their your own time where you get to control the music, or is it more like
I just kind of goes back and forth. We kind of switch it on and off. The TV, you know, it's usually gamers all day, all night. But we watch, I got another terrible one called Rhinestone.
Oh.
You ever heard of it?
Yeah, it's Dolly Parton and
Sylvester Stallone. I make the band watch it on days off. It's the worst. They're trying so hard to be funny, and that's why it's funny, because they're not funny at all, and it's so awkward and cringe-worthy that I can't. I make you see, no, you have to watch it all. And I make the band watch it at least once a month.
That isn't fair, man. That movie is garbage. I don't think I made it through the whole thing.
You have to.
I'm going to track that fucker
Stallone
down.
Stallone dances in a rhinestone outfit in the end. It is the crescendo of bad.
I'll see if I can find it on VHS too, just to really do it justice.
But. Oh man, need some dry gremlin cereal when you watch it.
So do you like Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park then?
Yes, I do.
Now, I think they should remake it with the current band.
I think so too.
I had a petition going, but I only got 48 people to sign it.
Damn it.
Yeah, anyway.
I can understand that. I understand why people don't like it.
Well, I do too, but it's a good hurt.
I like bad 80s Kiss. Our old producer always argues with me, because he actually engineered some stuff for Kiss as an intern. And I said, sorry, man. I was like, you're a little older than me, and I grew up in the 80s, and Tears Were Falling is how I was introduced to Kiss.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I was only like 9 or 10 when that came out, so I wasn't really into rock and roll too much at 7. I had the Queen Flash Gordon soundtrack, so that was big to me. Listen to that on repeat. And had the Rocky soundtrack, that was big. So until, you know, HBO started playing the videos. We had MTV, but I wasn't really allowed to watch it much. And 80s, you know, pollen leg warmers and neon green gloves. That was the first Kiss. I mean, I love 70s Kiss. And got Love Ace is my favorite. Or Paul, it's a toss-up. But I like all the 70s stuff, if not better. But I still have a soft spot for bad 80s Kiss.
I have a hard time with not picking any of it, you know. I mean, I like it all for the most part.
Yeah, I do too.
Except for the last two records, that'd be the only two that I would just. I probably won't ever listen to again. But
the one song tricked me when they did a retro album, the Modern Day Delilah. When I heard it, I'm like, man, that sounds like an actual 70s Kiss song.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the record, it just. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I'll go back and revisit it, and it'll be awesome. But
it's not just you. at least I could. There's one more person here that a group thinks that way too.
The one song was good. I was excited. I'm like, this sounds.
I thought
like
it was sick. Okay, but.
Yeah, but sometimes when you like a band from a certain time, no matter what they do 20 years later, it's hard to.
Yeah, I was pretty optimistic because a lot of bands from that time had come on. I think Ozzy had either Scream or Black Rain was around that same time. There's like, I don't know, I don't want to waste too much time on that, but I was like, there's all this resurgent of, like, you know, really good artists from that, like,
yeah,
coming out with new stuff that I really liked a lot, and I was a little disappointed because
Anthrax had a good comeback record. Yeah. I was blown away by it.
Worship Music, you're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? This is more hooks than they've ever had in their whole career.
I'm terrible with names. God damn it, whatever. And
see, Joey Belladonna was back for it.
Yeah, he sounded amazing.
We know his friends. I've met him and played with him on Gigantour, and Yeah, he does some cover band, plays drums and sings.
Was Joey in the band at the time when you guys did the Gigantour? Yep. So that was when they did the first reunion.
First reunion, got to sing on stage with Megadeth and part of Anthrax on stage. It was super cool, man.
Well, that had to give you a bit of a boner.
It did.
Yeah.
Scott Ian was cool. They're all great, man.
Yeah. That had to be kind of cool because didn't, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Marty said that Dave Mustaine's kid picked you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helped, thank God.
That's
thank
awesome.
You, little Mustaine.
You got some people in your corner, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, I'll wrap it up a little bit by, you know, going back to what we talked about, that love letter from a booking manager. So, have you been peeing in Gatorade bottles today?
No, we got a full bathroom. We shower at the gym. We hit the gym.
If I scrapped one up, could you piss in it for me? I'll just take it away.
Sure, man. I threw some old cigarette butts in there for old times.
Yeah, has a van broken down at all in this tour? Or
you mean the huge modular
RV
home we're in?
Yeah.
No, man. No, we had a flat tire to trailer. We got spares, and this ran great. And we got a great road manager who's just a carpenter, a part electrician, knows a lot about engines. He just takes care of it, man. He's a man.
So you think it's probably going to be happening soon then, now that I've mentioned it?
Don't jinx it.
Okay. Well, no.
Say it's really great, man. We hit the gym probably 5-6 days a week, so we get showers at
really?
The Planet Fitness is like 2 miles from every venue, I swear
to
God.
Yeah, I suppose.
Say our driver drives all night. We go and we work out. Or at least I do. A couple of the guys follow me. Half of them are hungover and just take showers. And, but it's good, man. The band works out. We head to the venue, and it's good stuff, man.
Any plans to start writing the next record?
Yeah, we got some skeletons and some choruses and some, And I think we're gonna go EP. I don't know that. Well, streaming now, especially spending all the money on a record ourselves as an indie artist, I don't know that it's worth it. I'd rather put out songs faster and quicker, and you know, more compact.
Yeah, that's too bad. I think it's heading that way, but you almost kind of got your hand forced, to be honest with you. But as a fan, you know, I'll always want an album when I can get it.
Same
you know?
Here, man. Same here. I like making one. It just costs so much, and getting the money back, we could probably crank out the same amount of tunes. It's just separated, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do an EP, we're gonna put another one out in 10 months. So.
Right. Okay.
You'll get to hear all the songs regardless.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else that you want to promote? Anything you want to talk about that I didn't cover?
Yeah. Download anything that moves off of, you know, iTunes, Amazon. Streaming sucks. Come to a show.
Yep.
A live show is where it's at.
And buy merch.
Buy merch and come meet us. And that's what we're all about, is our live show and taking it to the people. And we tour regardless of what's happening in the music industry.
All right. I thank you so much for your time once again. I'm with Sean from Bubble Flex. And, well, listen to what I'm playing next.
Thank you, Barga.
Thank you.
It makes no sense to me. You could have stopped the suffering. You could have stopped the screams. But now your reign is over, and it's all up to me. I'm gonna show you what I mean.
Between the eyes. Hey, hi, hey, hey.
thank you so much for checking out Cobras and Fire special Boba Flex edition. I hope it gave you a rock boner. I hope you like what you heard. If you were a fan already, I hope you stick around and maybe check out some of our other episodes where we talk about all things that make rock great. If you weren't a fan, I hope you are now. And if so, go like him on Facebook. Follow him on Instagram or Twitter. Go see a show. Buy a CD. Buy a t-shirt. Do anything you can to help keep rock and roll alive, because that's what we are all about here at the Cobras and Fire podcast. For Loose Cannon, my name is Baco. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frenino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.